All right, welcome to the Free Stretch Week 10 edition here on JoeBucksFan.com. Bobby Fenton here, live on a Thursday afternoon, recording as we get set for the weekend and as we get set for a matchup of 2-3-4 teams. The Titans visit the Buccaneers Sunday, 1 p.m., Raymond James Stadium. And, well, there might be a little air of desperation in the air when those two teams get together on Sunday. The Bucs coming off of a four-game losing streak that they hope stops at four. The Titans have lost three of their last four. Both teams not in a good way. And, of course, the Buccaneers coming off of a particularly bad loss in Houston, which we'll talk about a little bit as we get ready for the Titans game on Sunday. But kind of going to play off of the theme of last week's show a little more today, because I asked you guys then, and I will say it again now, what is it we're rooting for? What do we even want to happen? I am still not sure. Like, I honestly don't know. And that's the weird part about all of this, because the Bucs feel like an organization in limbo right now that's kind of spinning their wheels, and there's a few ways to look at it. So, you can be Mr. Totally Positive, or Mrs. I know we have females listening too. You can be Mr. or Mrs. Totally Positive. Hey, we're here to win games. We're going to try and win, win, win. The NFC South is still within reach. Nothing else matters. I don't care about 2024. I don't care about 2025. I don't care about offseason plans. I don't want to see the coach get fired. I want this team to figure it out, right the ship, get as many wins as they can, and win the NFC South. And you know what? That's on the table. That could happen. I'm not giving up on the season yet. On the other hand, you could say to yourself, where is this organization right now, and what is it trying to do? Because what do we want as fans? And I say this over and over. I don't just want to win games. I mean, of course you want to win games, but I want to win divisions. I want to win playoff games. I want to win the Super Bowl. That's really what it is. So if you go 8-9 or 9-8, even though that's looking more daunting now, but even if they pulled that off and won the division, what are we accomplishing? Are we staying with Baker Mayfield? Is he the quarterback of the future? Are we going to like re-up with him? They got him at a great bargain right now. It's going to take a lot more money to do it long term. And I'll talk about him more as the show goes on. I don't think he's been bad. But are you going that route? Todd Bowles, are we like, okay, Todd Bowles is our guy. He's going to save his job here in the final half of the season. Or do you need to see the Bucs make a lot of changes and rebuild? It's kind of a bridge year, like I said already. Next year, the cap situation gets a lot better. And I know that the whole point of whether it's sports talk radio, which I used to do, or doing a podcast, which I'm doing right now, whatever it is you're supposed to come out with strong opinions and say, this is how it is, and this is why it's that way, and this is how it needs to be, and this is what needs to happen to get it to be that way. You know, that's what you're supposed to do. And if it were that easy, of course, if saying it made it so, then there wouldn't be the issues to begin with. But I really don't know. Like, I don't know what I'm rooting for. And I know the simple view for a lot of you are, what are you talking about, Bobby? You want the Bucs to win. Again, I want the Bucs to win certain things, not just win here and there, just to say, hey, we won. And then, you know, what's the direction of the organization right now? So I'm looking at this Houston loss, which was a bad loss. Nobody's going to try and sugarcoat it. Only the second time in franchise history, by the way, that they've scored 37 points or more and lost the football game. And it's particularly bad because they actually got it done. Like, they were down in the fourth quarter, had a great comeback drive, looked like they might just get a field goal to tie it up and force overtime, and they actually got all the way. They scored the touchdown, baby. Left less than a minute, and the defense still found a way to give it back. Hurts, okay? But I look at this 3-4 record, and I look at the games they've played so far. I see four games that were flat-out wins or flat-out losses. Flat-out wins, New Orleans and Chicago. They beat that ass, those games. Dominant, well-played, not a call here or a play there or a turnover here or there. Either way, no, nothing like that. Straight-up wins. Same with the two losses, Philadelphia and Detroit. Got beat in all facets of the game. Didn't have it those days. Lost. Fine, 2-2. But I always say the NFL, you've got your really, really good teams. You've got your really, really bad teams. There's only a handful of each, and maybe not even a handful. And you've got a lot of teams in the middle. And like I said, there's not that much difference between a 6-11 team and an 11-6 team. There really isn't. There really isn't. Five wins in five games sounds like it's a big difference, but it's not. And a call here and there, a turnover here and there, you know, a goal line stand where you settle for a field goal instead of a touchdown, or red zone opportunity gone by the board. Little things like that. And not all of it. Some of it's random. Some of it is, you know, dependent on skill and execution. But my point is, it's a real fine line. So the Bucs have had three of those games so far. They're 1-2 in those three games. Because as bad as those two losses were, and they've, you know, two of the last three games, Atlanta and Houston, are horrible losses that we feel like the Bucs should have won. I count the Minnesota game opening week, the first game of the season. You know, I think the Bucs stole that game a little bit. I didn't feel like they had any business winning that game, and they pulled it out. So you always remember the ones you think you should have won. It's less common for people to point to the ones that you won that maybe you shouldn't have. You just kind of pencil those in as, oh yeah, we won. But it works both ways. So like I said, in those swing games, as I call them, that every NFL team has on their schedule, the Bucs are now 1-2, in addition to being 2-2 in the other four games. And so, you know, as frustrating as it is, especially a loss like this past week, what should the Bucs' record be? Really, 3-4 or 4-3, somewhere in there? And so if they win the Houston game, they'd be 4-3 right now. We'd all be singing a lot different tune. But honestly, even if they do pull it out and stand up that final drive against C.J. Stroud and the Texans offense, and they held them, they didn't score, and the Bucs are 4-3 right now, we'd feel a lot better. But would the team be really that much different? And say what you want about the coaching. You know, you can criticize Todd Bowles. I think, you know, some of the coverages he's been calling and the same old soft shells, cover two, quarters, just getting picked apart. That final drive, he didn't make life very hard on C.J. Stroud, although Stroud, to his credit, and the Texans offense did execute. So his criticism's there. The offense has obviously gotten plenty of criticism, although it wasn't on them on Sunday. But either way, it does come down to the roster, and I feel like the Bucs have a roster that's pretty much in line with what we've seen out there. So, where do you go from here? Like, what do you want? What do you think should have happened that hasn't happened, besides maybe winning one extra game that they didn't win? And even if they did somehow pull off that division title and go to the playoffs, what would your expectations be for the playoffs? Because we saw them do it last year at 8-9, and then it was a joke of a playoff performance on a Monday night, and they were 1-done, and that was that. And Todd Bowles is hanging his hat on that right now, because 8-9, while it is still 8-9, you get to say, oh, well, division winners. You know, even though, to me, that's random groupings by geography that has nothing. You were 8-9, and they're well on their way to something along those lines this year, although it could be worse. And it's possible, although I think unlikely, that it's much better than that. But, you know, I look at the roster. Offensive line's been okay. Evans and Godwin, you know, I wish we ran through Godwin. I didn't even know he was on the field Sunday, had one of his worst games as a Buck. Not that he did anything particularly wrong, just didn't, you know, you just didn't notice him. It had, you know, what do you have? Like 20 yards, I think. Obviously, the running game's been atrocious on defense. The secondary had one of its worst days. Carlton Davis had one of his worst days. And I felt bad for him. I tweeted that he's, you know, past his sell-by date. He's not old, but I just, it wasn't just a bad game. You can always say, oh, hey, he had a bad game. Pick up and move on. He hadn't been that good all season either. And to his credit, after the game, he owned up to it. And this week in the media sessions, he's owned up to it. And he was also asked directly, hey, man, you know, your strength is like a press man corner. Do you feel it's hurting your game not being able to play man coverage and being asked to do all these soft coverages and bail out after, you know, give you a 10-yard cushion, then bailing out at the snap? That's not you. Maybe you'd be better. And he, to his credit, said, no, that's not it. He's like, yeah, I do like to play press man coverage. But he said, I pride myself on being an all-around corner who does whatever a corner needs to do. And he absolutely did not blame that on anything. Stand-up guy, 100%. And I hope it does get better. I'm skeptical. Jamel Dean, I mean, a lot of Jags out there right now. You know what my acronym, JAG, just another guy. A lot of Jags out there right now. Devin White. Levante David's still playing at a really high level. Not that anybody was awesome on Sunday on defense, but, I mean, you know, I think, oh, pass rush needs to be mentioned, too. I mean, let's be honest. Because it always, no matter what else you want to talk about, comes down to pass rush or not. Shaq Barrett's out there. I see him, you know, every once in a while do something. Tryon Shoyanka, he's out there. I think he's gotten a little better from his rookie year. I was listening to the, you know, Ira Kaufman with the Joes on their podcast, and Ira said, has Tryon Shoyanka improved at all from his rookie year? And they also agreed, no. I think maybe a little bit. But yeah, not really, no. And again, just guys. They're not getting, just guys. So, I mean, this roster right now, what it always comes down to for me, the way my mind works, and I've never been a GM, but if I was a GM, and you know, sometimes you can think long-term as a GM, sometimes the water's a little hotter, and you maybe have to think about right now. And I get why Todd Bowles would think that way. But I'm looking at our roster, and I'm thinking, okay, first of all, is it happening right now? Is it going to happen right now? And if the answer to that is yes, then okay, then your focus is on that. We're trying to win the Super Bowl. If it doesn't feel like this is the team right now and this doesn't feel like that, then you say to yourself, okay, well, what is it? Are we young? Are we bad? Have we had bad luck? Another thing Ira and the Joes talked about, like, it's not like injuries have been an issue where we're waiting for guys to get back. It's not like turnover has been an issue, turnover margin, because the turnover margin is positive. In fact, there are 11 teams in the league that have a positive turnover margin. The Bucks are the only one with a losing record. So it's nothing extenuating like that. So you say, okay, so what am I looking at on this roster the next time we are a contender? And when I say contender, I mean just that. You know, there's only one team that wins the Super Bowl. There's only two teams that make it. Only four teams even play for the conference championship. Only eight teams make the divisional round. I look at the divisional round as the line of demarcation, because you can sneak in and get a playoff berth and still not be very good and get beat in wild card weekend. But once you've made the divisional round, like, you're a legitimate team. That's the top quarter of the league, eight teams left. So the next time we're that team, how many of the guys I'm looking at right now will be contributors to that team? And there's a few, like Tristan Wirfs, I'd like to think, would be around for that. And some of these young guys on the offensive line, maybe. Evans and Godwin, I'm really not sure. Depends on how long it takes. Baker Mayfield, I'm really not sure. He's the tweener one, man. It's tough. And you got a real deep quarterback draft. Next year, we'll have plenty of time to talk about the draft. But that'll be a question the Bucs are faced with, especially given the fact that, you know, and the Bucs will have more cap room, but Mayfield's number is going to go up. And I like him. I mean, I wasn't that excited when we got him. Not that I didn't think he was any good, but I just, you know, I felt like it was a level appropriate get for the Bucs, like he was a fit. And he's actually been a little better than I expected him to be. Now, are we talking about, hey, if you put a really good team around him with him, can you win a Super Bowl? Or can you even be a contender and be in that final eight, the divisional round? I think maybe. I'm not, like, blown away. Like, yes, this is the guy. Like, the guy. But then again, when have the Bucs ever had the guy? Except for, I mean, even when they won the Super Bowl in 2002, like, Brad Johnson in the league was different back then, but you know, he was just what they needed for that team. He could run Gruden's offense. You know, that offense improved leaps and bounds over Tony Dungy, but he wasn't like a superstar or anything. And other than that, the Bucs have always been searching for that guy, and the only time they got him is when they were able to literally sign the best person to ever play the position of quarterback for three seasons, and lo and behold, they won the Super Bowl in one of them and made the divisional round as a contender, there's that word again, in another one of the three seasons. Then last year, he tailed off, and then he retired. And now Baker Mayfield's numbers through the first seven games are pretty similar to what Brady's were through the first seven games last year. So, you know, you can try and draft him again. That'll be something they can look at. It'll depend on where their draft position is. As of now, they're in the top 10. And what happens in these next few weeks? I mean, I know people are looking ahead to the San Francisco game and already penciling it in as a loss. So they're saying, well, if the Bucs don't win this weekend, oh man, it's a big problem. They're going to be 3-5. And once they're 3-5 now. I've been saying 3-4. They're going to be 3-6 if they lose this weekend. And then if that happens, people are already penciling in the loss to the 49ers next week and saying, now you're 3-7. And I don't like to do that. I mean, they're 3-5 right now. I don't care about the 49ers game. They're playing the Titans this weekend. I misspoke earlier when I said 3-4. But, yeah, if you lose this game, you are 3-6, and you are staring down the barrel of a road trip out west to play San Francisco, and that's, I don't like when people say, oh, that's a loss. They could win it, who knows, but it wouldn't be a great situation to be in. And then let's say hypothetically you are 3-7 then. And then, yeah, now you're talking about real bad feelings. You're talking about Todd Bowles in danger of losing the locker room. You're talking about Todd Bowles in danger of losing the Glazers. And they've never done anything midseason or anything like that, but I would think that would decrease his odds greatly, you know, of what happens in the offseason. And then you're thinking of a full scale. And then you think, okay, well, for Fire and Bowles, what do we, is Jason Light? They're not tied together necessarily, but is Jason Light okay? Or are you going to do a full house cleaning and just restart everything with a top 10 draft pick? Or do the Bucks eke out a few wins, stay just good enough to be in contention, still fall short, and now you're picking 12th or 15th or something, but really nothing more to show for it? We don't know. We don't know. And I'm not one of these people that says tank for a higher draft pick, because a lot of times you have just as good of odds of getting a good player at pick 8 as pick 12 or pick 14 or whatever. You don't know, you know. But at the same time, that's what I mean when I say I don't know what I'm looking at when I'm watching these games. It all just kind of feels like it's a weird feeling. It's a weird feeling. Because I like to know exactly what, you know, at least we're trying to do. And I know what the Bucks themselves, I know what Todd Bowles and what the player they want to win. But I'm saying, you know, what are we hoping happens big picture here? And hell if I know. So the whole season just kind of feels like a wheel spin right now. And anytime you win a game, you feel great that next week. If the Bucks are able to do that and go 4-5, then they'll have done that for now. If they lose, it's going to be real bad feelings. They play a Titans team that, like I said, has lost 3 of their last 4. 0-4 on the road this year. I'm not sure if I like that or not. All the 4 teams they've lost to are teams that are winning record teams, for whatever it's worth. There's only 3 teams that have a winless road record so far, and it's the Panthers and the Cardinals are the other one. And those have not lost a good team. Those are just bad teams. The Titans, I don't think, are a bad team. They are starting a rookie quarterback in Will Levis, only his 3rd start. He was gangbusters that first start, was throwing the ball over the field, completed a lot of deep balls, got a little more contained against Mike Tomlin last Thursday night. That's another thing. The Titans will be off extra rest, although that extra rest didn't seem to help the Bucs much against Houston because they had it too. But Levis making his 3rd start, you know, there's not a lot of film on him, but he can do some things. And I said during the draft, and I said it on the show after the draft, but I was saying it on Twitter that night, you're always looking for quarterbacks, always, always, always. Take Levis. If he's at the point where it got to when the Bucks were picking and Levis was still there, I said, you know what? He may not be anything. He may be a bust, but maybe with the, you know, top 10 pick, you're worried about it. If you're picking 18th or whatever it is, screw it. Just draft him. Who cares? Like, whatever. Always be looking for that quarterback. Because if you just get one right every few years, and that's the guy. There you go. And every team wants to be in a position where they have the guy. Having watched Levis now, I think he could be. It's still too early to tell. But what he's shown so far is impressive. And I'm not saying he even would have been doing that if he was here. But my point is, they'll face a guy that can do some things in Will Levis. The Titans do have a very good running game, as we know, with Derrick Henry. And I think they'll still try to lean on that, although the Bucs' run defense has been very good. So there's matchups all over the field that can work one way or the other. The Titans' offensive line, though, is very poor. They have allowed 29 sacks in their 8 games. And so this is not a high-level offensive line. And the Bucs' pass rush needs to get something going. And that, you know, you got a rookie quarterback, you've got a guy who is only making his 3rd start regardless of his physical capabilities. Another thing I'd like to see is, again, going back to the coverages Todd Bowles runs, and I'm not going to pretend to know more about football than Todd Bowles. I'm sure those guys have it under control, but it seems like with a young quarterback, softer coverage allows for a little bit more underneath stuff and just to get you feeling good, hit some early completions. I'd like to see them get tighter out there. I'd like to see them make Levis make some tougher throws into some windows, and not just give them the underneath stuff, because that's something that you can help you get into a rhythm, especially a younger quarterback. So you start letting them have guys running free, even if it is not really all that deep down the field, and he can hit a few, and that loosens everything up in his mind mentally. So I'd like to see a little more tight coverage there. Just looking at this Titans game in a vacuum. But I'm not looking at the Titans game in a vacuum. I'm wondering, like, what are we doing as a franchise? Where are we going? And the Bucks will have to answer all these questions in the second half of the season. And, you know, the Glazers are the ones, and I'm not in their minds, but they're the ones who it matters the most what they're thinking. Obviously, they're the owners, but I like I said, I can tell you Todd Bowles, he's a head coach, and he knows he may not have another chance, and he wants to win as many games as possible, contend or win the division, keep his job, keep the status quo, get better, go forward. Is that really happening with our franchise is the question the Glazers have to answer, and I don't know if I necessarily believe they have their minds made up yet or not. So I guess if you're looking for intrigue and import in these games, the direction the franchise decides to take could be riding on these games. Even if you're not thinking the Bucks are much of a contender this year, even if you think winning the division's a pipe dream, even if you think winning a playoff game is a pipe dream, even if they did win the division, what you're witnessing this weekend against the Titans, next weekend against the 49ers, on through the schedule with a 3-5 record right now, you're witnessing what could be the determining factors in the next step the franchise takes, whatever direction that is. And I, like I said, have no idea what it is right now. Email me if you want to, bobbygameday@yahoo.com, BobbyGameDay, bobbygameday@yahoo.com. On Twitter, you can get me at bobbygameday, same thing there. You can follow me or just read and criticize or respond to my tweets, whatever you want to do. Like I said, I'm recording this show on Thursday afternoon, so I don't know the Friday practice situation. By the time you read or hear this podcast, there may have been more news, but as of Thursday, everybody was out there except Carlton Davis, who was limited. He was on the side working with a trainer. He's got a toe injury. Jamel Dean still in the concussion protocol. Todd Bowles did say that Friday would be the day they learn the most about whether or not he'll be available. So not a ton of injuries for the Bucks. They're relatively healthy, but their two corners are the guys who are question marks right now. Everybody else was out there, though. Matt Filer was back in the mix at practice, and everything's looking pretty okay on the injury front. But yeah, like I said, I mean, 3-5, no real injuries that have held you back. It's not like they've had bad turnover luck or anything like that. They're just a middling team. And I'm listening to sports talk radio out there. I'm hearing people call in saying, I'm tired of the same quotes every week. We have to play better. We have to coach better. Blah, blah, blah. Well, you know what? We do this media availability thing every week. There's nothing to really say. What do you want these guys to say? There are 32 teams. Only a handful of them at any given time are going to be really good. Everybody else, every fan base thinks they should be one of the ones that's one of the really good ones all the time, every year. So the other ones have to say stuff like, well, I don't know, we got to do better. When in reality, they're probably not, they might be doing the best they can. That's just all they got. And everybody's proud, so no one's going to say, oh, yeah, well, we're about a 500 team, so we feel like if we win a couple, we're right on where we should be. Nobody's going to say that. Everybody wants to be 10-2. But again, in reality, that's what the Bucks have right now. So, and I'm texting with my buddy Drew. We watch the games together a lot, or sometimes we just text each other. And I was texting with him. Actually, let me read the text thread with him. Just a couple of the, because I was texting with him during the game on Sunday, and I was like, "What are we doing right here, right now?" And yeah, here we go. He's saying, welcome to the reset. The salary cap situation is fine. Let's blow it up and start fresh next year. This season is a true flying coffin. We don't know what's going to happen. Don't worry about what's going to happen. Just have fun with it. I said to him, what do we even want to happen? Is winning better or losing? I have no idea. He says, the Bucks head coach, referring to Bowles, and the personnel do not have the juice, so losing is fine. At the same time, nothing wrong with having a little fun. Let go and enjoy the ride. And I know some of you are out there thinking, your friend's nuts, losing is not fine. A lot of times you don't know until years later. And I'm not saying Todd Bowles is going to get fired, we're going to hire the next Bill Belichick and win 10 Super Bowls, but I can think of so many situations with my teams over the years where something bad happened and I was upset, and then I looked back later and I'm saying to myself, man, I'm really glad that happened. Look at the Bucks in the late 90s with Tony Dungy. Look at those two crushing playoff losses in Philadelphia. What if they had won one or two of those games? Remember the 2000 playoffs and the 2001 playoffs? Both wild card round, both Philadelphia, both bad losses. One was like 21-3. The other, I can't remember the score of the other one, but they were both just bad games where the Bucks offense did nothing and how bitter that felt. What if they had eked out a win in one of those? You know? Or what if they had beaten the Rams in 99 but then lost the Super Bowl? If any of those things had happened, they probably never make an aggressive move like they did for John Gruden, and they may never actually win the Super Bowl in 2002 or, for all that we know, ever. You know, we don't know that. And I'm a UF guy, so the Gators, same thing. I look back at, when Spurrier stepped down in 2001, I remember Ron Zook coming in. And I didn't dislike Ron Zook. He recruited well, but the Gators clearly dropped off, and those three seasons were horrible. Horrible. And they were horrible by our standards back then. Now they seem like good seasons. Like, the Gators were like 8-4, which, back then they used to lose one or two games a year, so four losses seemed atrocious, but now it doesn't seem that bad. But anyway, I remember thinking, oh my God, this is horrible. But if they won a few more games and they still weren't good enough to win a championship, but just won a couple more, maybe they don't fire Zook, or at least they don't fire him when they did. And that just happened to be when a guy named Urban Meyer was ready to take the next step at a program in Utah and ready to move up. And they were able to get Urban Meyer and win two national titles in 3 years. And none of that may have ever happened if they won just a couple more of those games in 02, 03, 04, right? That's how this stuff works. So timing in life, that's the thing. Life is, I know people always say, oh, what's meant to be will find a way, and they believe in fate. That's all bullshit. I hope most of you understand that, but I know people have their beliefs. But a lot of it's random, and a lot of it is timing. And a lot of it is something happening at a certain time that allows something else to happen that wouldn't have happened if it didn't happen at that exact time. So, and you don't know these things until years later when you look back, so we're in that window right now. What's happening right now is going to affect the Bucks' future, okay? In a big way, probably. And yet, we don't know which way we want. I don't know if the good way is winning more games or losing more games. I don't know. Neither do you. So, when I watch the game on Sunday, instinctively, like always, I'll be rooting for the Bucks to win. I wish they'd won the Houston game. I wish they'd won the Atlanta game. But check back with me in 2026, 2027, 2028, and it'll probably be a lot more evident what would have been the best thing to happen here now in 2023, but we don't know it now. That's part of the fun. So like my buddy Drew said, to his credit in the text thread, hey, just sit back and enjoy it. Let it go. We want the Bucks to win, but don't freak out if something bad happens. There's a lot of people who just know what's in front of their face right now. So 2023 is happening in real time right in front of us. 2024 and 2025 are both things, right? They're both seasons that are things, but they don't mean anything to us right now because they're not there. Those are, I'll worry about those later. 2023 is all that's in front of us right now, so people are freaking out. Oh man, we're going to lose. We're not going to make the playoffs, Bobby. How are we going to make? Hey, maybe they won't. Maybe that's a good thing. I don't know. But it's the mentality of a fan, and it's fine, especially in football. Every single time your team is out there on the field, they should win, and your goal is to win all of them and go win the Super Bowl. Every year, all the time. I get it. I wouldn't want to change that mentality for a lot of you fans. But the reality is, that's only going to really be the case for, well, one team will actually win, but even beyond that, just like a handful of teams will actually say, yeah, that was a good season. This is a good team. We're where we need to be. And the other 24, 25, 26, 27 teams, oh, with unacceptable. We must do better. Even though there's 32 teams and, four or five will be good, and the rest won't make it as far as they wanted to make it, period, And so that's what I'll be paying attention to on Sunday at 1 p.m. Tickets are, not going to be too hard to get. Weather should be beautiful. Good chance to go out there and enjoy the football game, That Lions ticket was pretty expensive on throwback day. That Eagles Monday Nighter was a big number. But for those of you that don't want to go that high, you don't have to now. You can go enjoy the football game. But if you're going to be at home, that's fine too. You can do it that way. And like I always say, use it as an opportunity to get together with friends, watch it in person, go to someone's house, have someone over your house, get some food, get some drinks, and enjoy just spending time together as football fans, because football season is precious, and it's always, like, the college season's already two-thirds of the way over. High school starting their playoffs this week. Oh, by the way, I say it every year. especially now that we're going, you know, there's playoff games tomorrow night in Hillsborough County and all over the state of Florida. But, like, if you have a chance to go to a high school game, especially a playoff game, they're fun to go to. Go check it out. And to all, if there's anybody out there who plays high school football, I don't know how young my listeners are, but, man, you know, there's a bunch of kids who are going to pull a pair of pads over their heads tomorrow night. And when they pull them off at the end of the night, they're never going to put them back on again. They don't even necessarily know that yet. You know, a handful may go on to college. A handful more may go on to play semi-pro football like I did, which you can, if you want to play, you can play. But a lot of them never play football again. That's it. And that's a special time in their lives. And, you know, it already came to an end for a bunch of teams this past week. But enjoy the high school playoffs on Friday night. A good slate of college football on Saturday. And then, of course, we've got Week 10 on Sunday. And most specifically, the Titans and the Bucks. So, thanks to all of you for listening. It's fun as always. Bucks Titans, 1 p.m. All the coverage you need, all the time. JoeBucksFan.com, the single best place anywhere for Bucks coverage, television, radio, or internet. Thanks to the Joes for giving me the platform, allowing me to be on this website and to get in front of all of you. Thanks to you for listening. I'm Bobby Fenton. I'll be back next week, hopefully talking about a 4-5 football team, but we'll see. In the meantime, have a great weekend. Be safe, have fun, and wherever you are, good morning, good afternoon, good night, and go Bucks.